time, your attention. It means a lot to me. A couple of people I want to thank in the audience are State Rep Dan House, right over here. Reporter Dean, Stormy Taylor, right there. Thank you. Other people in the audience, our Democrat chair for this district, Michael Berlin. Michael, where are you? No? I thought he was going to be here. All right. So he's not here. Our Republican chair, Brandon Phelps, right there. I want to thank our staff who's put this together. Patty DePardo-Livergood sitting down here. She is amazing. Person, she's been a lifelong friend. Well, since I've been in the Kansas City area for 25 years now, her dad Tony DePardo and I were great friends. Band leader for the Chiefs for many years, and then Patty took that over. And she worked on our campaign and is now our special events coordinator and doing things for our congressional office as well. So thank you, Patty. Becky Johnson runs our office in Raymore, pretty much. I still don't know your title.
I don't
know. Okay. She keeps me in line. But the actual person who runs the office is Ryan Nonnemaker. He's our district director right here. And then Jim Cares right here. He's does one of our things. He's filled it up. Drives me around, keeps me in line, and I wouldn't be here if it weren't for my wife, Leslie. She's sitting right over here. And David, where'd David go? All right, he left. David Pierce, thank you so much. He and Roger Best, the president of UCM, have been unbelievably gracious and hospitable. We had a debate here during the Republican primary in a big auditorium, and they just rolled out the red carpet for us. I've done tours here. They have just been over the top about being gracious hosts and letting me learn about the greatness of UCM. So thank you, David. I really appreciate it. Why have a town hall? A lot of congressmen and women don't do it. I'm doing these. We're going to have 12 of these in the next week and a half. Because this isn't about me. This election was not about me. This position is not about me. This is about you. This is about your voice. And it doesn't matter if you're Republican, Democrat, independent, agnostic. I represent 774,027 people in the 4th Congressional District of the great state of Missouri. And you are all part of that. And so I represent a wide variety of voices, and I want to hear what's on your mind, your heart, your soul. When I was campaigning in for the Republican primary, it was primarily Republicans who turned out. And you kind of get, look, I'm a conservative Republican. I make no bones about that or any apologies. I'm proud of my positions. But when you get into a position of like this, where you're representing, I think it's kind of got lost in Washington about what it's all about, is being a voice for everyone. Now, we're not always going to agree on everything. There are going to be people here, there are some of you here tonight who don't like me, and that's okay. I'm okay with that. We're going to disagree on some things. I'm not going to know some answers to some things. I am still learning. And so be patient with me as I progress in this field and this job title. When I got to Washington in January, of course, we had a Speaker of the House that took 15 votes. You were probably watching along with the rest of the world as we elected Kevin McCarthy. We have a 5-seat majority in the House. It has not been easy ruling with a 5-seat majority. You just can't get much done. The Republicans control basically one half of one third of the government right now, and so to get anything meaningfully done is very difficult to do. One of the best things that I've seen about Kevin McCarthy as a person, and this was even before I was sworn in, is the level level of deference and understanding and listening that he has for people within our conference to try to understand where they're coming from, because we're having to reach consensus on a lot of things. We've passed some important legislation already. H.R. 2, the Secure the Border Act. Yes, it's very important. We're hoping to meet that for you. Parents' Bill of Rights, so parents can have a say in the child's education. Many other things that we are working on and that we continue to work on. I have some bills in the Small Business Committee. I'm working with Sharice Davis, actually, a Democrat from Kansas, on the SERV Act in small business. We want to make it easier for veterans getting out of the service to be able to start a small business. There's nobody, I think, better suited than someone coming out of the service to start a small business in America. To do that, though, we've got to get the information out there, and we've got to get the Small Business Administration to get into the business of helping people build businesses. Not standing in their way, but being cooperative and having the attitude of how do we get this done? How do we work with you to build a business? Because I truly believe small businesses are the fabric of America. I'm working on a bipartisan bill with Representative Crockett out of Texas on this called the SHOP Act. I'm also on the Ag Committee. And we're putting together the Farm Bill. We're going to be talking about that tonight, the Farm Bill. It's 12 titles. 81% of it's going to be the Supplemental Nutrition Program, right? It's a three-legged stool, and I'll get into that a little bit later. But this bipartisan bill that we're working on, and I believe we're going to get passed, is going to allow families that are on the SNAP program to buy frozen fruits and vegetables. Right now, only fresh fruits and vegetables are allowed to be bought with some SNAP benefit cards. And we believe that families in a hurry. I love frozen green beans. That's my favorite. And I love open the bag and let's see if it'll pop some on the stove with a little onion and butter. And that's a pretty good deal. And so we believe that busy families need options. And so that's one of the things we're working on. I'm also on the House Armed Services Committee, and I'll tell you about these committees. It is not easy to get on House Armed Services and also Agriculture Committee. Those are considered B-plus committees. And after we won the election, I went up to Washington to meet with then-leader McCarthy. And one of the first things he asked me is, what committees do you want to be on? Because you have to lobby to get on certain committees, especially the good ones. And Ag, and he told me Ag and HASC, House Armed Services, are B-plus committees, and don't expect to get on those. You're not going to get on those. My predecessor, Vicki Hartzell, was on those, and you guys, the district, told me on the campaign trail that those are the committees that you wanted me on. So I felt like I had a duty to try my hardest. I did. I campaigned very hard with the steering committee on the Republican conference, and we ended up on House Armed Services, Agriculture, and Small Business Committee. It was no easy feat, but I did that for you. I did that for our district because we have Whiteman Air Force Base in our district, not too far from here, home of the B-2 stealth bomber, and soon to be home of the B-21 stealth bomber, which is being built right now in Palmdale, California. And I do have a top-level security clearance, which is kind of cool. I get to go out and see this thing being built. It is unbelievably advanced. That's all I can tell you. You know, the B-2 stealth bomber right now is like 40-year-old technology. This thing is going to be a fantastic deterrent to the pacing threat of communist China. I'm going to get into that tonight, too. I'm recognizing some people. Bob and Penny Mace, thank you for driving in. They live in our neighborhood in Cass County. And Peggy, thank you for coming. A chair from Benton County, thank you so much for coming. We have issues there. Lisa, thank you for coming. We're working with them on the visitor center there and working with some options on the core to keep that overlooked. If you've not been there, you need to go there. Their visitation hours, their hours of operation have been whittled down, but I encourage you to go there. It's a great asset for Missouri and our nation. So we'll talk about that tonight. The master plan just came out Monday. I haven't gotten a chance to read through it all. Armed services is very important because facing a serious threat right now from communist China, and I'm not here to scare you. I don't like making decisions or living out of fear. I think that is a big mistake. But we have to be the best deterrent that we can be against communist China. And here's why. Xi Jinping is a bully. And he is going to pick on anything, as Vladimir Putin does, another bully, anything that is weak. And right now, he sees our government as weak. There has been a dispute for many, many years over Taiwan. And is Taiwan part of China, or is it a separate nation? The Taiwanese people that produce a lot of the goods that are in your home, including the microchips that are probably in your phone and in your car or in your truck, they want to be separate from China. It is a delicate balance in how we approach that. Our treaty right now with China is that we will support in their self-defense. Not necessarily that we will defend them against any aggressor, but we will support them in their self-defense. And why is that important to each one of us here today? Because 65% of the world's goods go through the Straits of Taiwan and the South China Sea. If there is a war, and it will be a sea war, and when China, if it does invade Taiwan, it will cut off the supply chain of the United States like you have never seen in your life. It will make COVID look like a cakewalk. The things that you see on your store shelves now, in Walmart, in your grocery store, more so Walmart and other places, you will have 5% of what you see now. So we've got to make sure that Xi Jinping knows that we are not going to tolerate him being a bully. We're not going to tolerate an invasion of Taiwan. And we're not going to tolerate his continued Belt and Road Initiative, where he is implanting his tentacles in the Western Hemisphere and trying to run the United States out of power and take over as the world power. The Belt and Road Initiative is a very serious thing. For years now, China has been making investments in South America, the Central American countries, and parts of Africa. And it's not just to be friendly. They are pumping money and their workforce into these nations to build airports, seaports, roads, to build infrastructure, so that if and when the time comes that we, God forbid, are in a conflict with China, they will have strategic assets placed on those ports that they can come at us. It's scary. They have set up spy shops in Cuba, 90 miles from the United States of America. They have their tentacles in everything we do in the United States of America. Our cheap computers, our Wi-Fi systems that a lot of municipalities use, drones. I won't particularly mention the names, but you've heard of the names of these drones. TikTok. I talk to young people, and they're going, I'm not even on TikTok. I'm telling you, it's a spy for the communist government of China. We are not allowed to have TikTok downloaded on our government phones, and there's a reason for that. What can China do with the information that they're getting? I don't have an answer to that, but I believe that they're truly mapping out our country. They do that when they fly a Chinese spy balloon right over this very campus and right in the Air Force Base. We should have shot it down before it got here. Yeah. But I'm just telling you this. You know, there are some generals out there who say that we could be in a conflict at war with China by the year 2027-28. We've got to make sure that our military is strong. And that doesn't mean spending unnecessarily. That means spending wisely and investing in the equipment, the advanced technology that I've been able to see that is unreal. The Boeing plant in St. Louis is building some phenomenal equipment. That's going to be used in our future for military aggression and deterrence. But we've got to be ready. We cannot shrink our military budget. This president really wants to do that, and we need to grow our military budget. We need to invest in resources. We also have to increase our recruitment. You know that only 9% of America's young people have any interest in joining the military? Legacy families are calling our office and telling us that I served, but I don't want my son serving, because the military is not what it used to be. We've got to get back to the military of being the military. We had, and the generals, not the politicians, but leading our troops. We had in our one of our committee meetings, and I'm blown away. I see this seal, and I'm in these committee meetings. I can't believe I have this awesome responsibility that you guys have given me this job. I do not take it lightly, but I'm sitting in this committee room, and I am questioning Secretary of Defense Austin and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley. And I am telling them, we can no longer operate the way that we are. We've got to get the DEI, these other programs out of the military and concentrate on being soldiers. Thank you. I think one thing that really got to them, and they really had no answer for it, as I said, if you and you or I, Secretary Austin and General Milley, if we three were to cross the Potomac right now and go to the sacred cemetery at Arlington, and we look down at those white gravestones, you would not be able to tell the color of the skin of the person lying in that grave or what pronoun they use. The enemy does not care. Sure, we need to support anyone who wants to get into the military. We've got to provide the training that they need. Part of the problem right now is that 25% of the young people aren't physically fit enough to get into the military. So the military spends 6 months trying to get people into shape so they don't have a heart attack in training. And so that's another problem that we're having in America, and that's where the SNAP program comes in to get people healthier. So those are the three committees I'm on. I'll tell you a little bit about my day. Most nights I sleep in my office on the fifth floor of Longworth office building. It was Mike Pence's freshman office. It's the smallest office in the oldest office building, but I'm glad I had an office. And there is a shower downstairs in the basement. There's also one in the gym over in Rayburn, unless he says, you really need to join the gym and use that shower. I usually get up about 5 or 6 and start the day. We have our first meetings at 7 and 8 o'clock in the morning. One of the things that people ask me, what's the biggest surprise that you've had since being in Washington? And I'm truly surprised at how many strong Christians there are in Washington. I'm involved in two Bible studies. My predecessor, Vicki Hartzer, told me about them, and I've been going to those. One is a rotating Bible study in our offices. And so about every 9th or 10th time, I host it in my small office. But it rotates around. And these are people you would know their names. They're proud to be Christians and proud to stand for God on Capitol Hill. The other is in the Agriculture Committee. Right. We actually meet in the Ag Committee room. It's a very intense study on Thursday mornings at 8 o'clock. Sometimes we'll have a conference meeting, usually on Tuesdays. Our conference meets in the below in the basement of the Capitol building, and there we talk about issues going on within our party, and if you've been following that, there's a lot to talk about. When we get back, we are going to have to pass some very serious appropriation bills. We'll talk about this tonight. We passed one of 11 so far, and they expire at the end of September. We're going to have to fund our government, and so we're going to be looking at strategies to do that. In addition to the conference meetings, we have committee meetings, and a lot of times I'll have 12 or 13 appointments a day. I have a full-time scheduler, believe it or not. Her name is Elle, and she and Leslie have become good friends, so she schedules everything I do except going to the bathroom. And so she's very important, and so it's really important from our district in particular, I want to meet with them in person and give them 5 or 10 minutes of my undivided attention. So not just so they can feel valued, but so we can help solve problems. And we're already solving problems. I'll get into that in just a little bit too, some of the accomplishments we've made. We have 9 staff members here in our district in 3 different offices. We have one in Raymore. We have one in Columbia, just north of the mall behind the Holiday Inn there off of I-70. And then we have one in Laclede County in Lebanon. You know, we have 24 counties in this district. During the campaign, we put 70,000 miles on that Florida expedition that I had out there, traveling around, listening to people, taking notes, and meeting you guys, and listening to what you wanted me to do. But we continue to travel when we're here in the district. Up in D.C., we have 9 staff members as well. Mike Martin is our chief of staff. He does a great job. I didn't steal him away, but he was a deputy chief for another congressman, and I offered him the chief job, and he took it. And I'm so glad. He knows what he's doing. He went through a training program with Kevin McCarthy's office to help be the best chief, and he knows how Washington works and how to make me the most effective that I can be. I mentioned Elle. She is our scheduler. We have Tom Dolan, whose dad was actually a news director that I actually tried to get a job with way back in the day in Chicago. I did not get that job, or I probably wouldn't be here today. But Tom now is our legislative director, and he is an expert on military affairs. He's come down with us several times in the district and has been to Wyken Air Force Base. And we've been to Fort Leonard Wood as well. I left that out of the equation. That's a very important base for our district. 80,000 personnel train there each year, and we're working to make sure that Fort Leonard Wood never ends up on the BRAC list, or base realignment and closure. They have some incredible programs out there. In fact, I told the folks out there, I don't want to just keep you in business as a base. I want to grow the programs out here. So we're looking at new programs that we can take to Fort Leonard Wood. In addition to that, we have, thank you, Madeline, who is our Legislative Affairs Senior Specialist. She came from Vicki Hartzler's staff. It's kind of funny, when I won the election, I was at the state fair meeting with Vicki, and she had her staff there, and I talked to all of them to see maybe if some of them wanted to join our staff, it would be the right fit. Madeline really stuck out, and everywhere I went, people were telling me, you gotta hire Madeline Dirks, you gotta hire Madeline Dirks. I said, who's Madeline Dirks? Well, I found out she's the most brilliant person when it comes to ag issues. She's from San Gray's district up in the north of the river, but her family's in cattle, and she knows, she knows just about everything there is to know about ag. And so she's a great liaison between me and the Ag Committee and helps me write some of this legislation that we're putting together. We also have Kyle. Kyle Upton worked for a senator and then left and went to be a specialist on what they call K Street. He wasn't a lobbyist, but he worked behind the scenes, and then we convinced him to come work for us. He's brilliant on small business, and he helps us with banking issues and small business. And then we have Austin, our communications director, which is, I think, the hardest job in our office because it has such high demands for what we do. Look, I wanted to be in TV reporter and anchor since I was in fifth grade. I wanted to tell stories, and on the campaign trail, that's what I told you guys. I want to tell your stories not just in Washington, but in the national media so the 4th District can get the respect it needs and deserves, right? And so how do I get someone to take me on because I'm so demanding when it comes to communications? Well, Austin has done that. He too worked for another congressman. I stole him away. And he is just phenomenal. A lot of it is about crafting your message, being truthful, but also doing things that matter for the district. We can never lose sight of that. And everything we do in our communications is about you. It's about the district. We just did an interview today on Newsmax. I don't know if you guys watch Newsmax. I was on Carl Hagee's show. We were talking about Ukraine, which is another topic I wanted to cover tonight. You know, the president 3 weeks ago said he wants another $20.6 billion for Ukraine. All right. Well, let me tell you what I told him today. And there was some, we had an editorial that I wrote, and Austin kind of polished up, and we got it published in The Hill. If you go to that, if you're on my social media, you can read it. Do you know that the last Congress authorized $113 billion to go to Ukraine? There's three models of that goes through. The presidential drawdown, which is basically a fancy term for we send them our old stuff, like the Abrams tanks and weaponry, and then we buy and build new stuff, and when we restock it into our stockpile, we pay for that, and that's part of that presidential drawdown authority. The second part of that is direct Ukraine assistance, where we help their government, we help their economy. The third part of that is foreign military financing. And basically, it's kind of like the presidential drawdown, but we're doing this for NATO countries, when NATO countries send their armaments to Poland, and that gets shipped down to Ukraine. We pay these countries to replace their stockpile, and they're buying a lot of it from U.S. manufacturers. So out of the $67 billion that falls into that bucket, it's called direct military assistance. Guess how much the president has already spent of that we've allocated?
10%.
$25 million, less than half. Wow. And so the president of the United States, I put it in my editorial to a home equity line of credit. How many of you have ever had a, if you take out an amount, you get $100,000 off your house, the equity you have in, then you spend it here and there on what you need to fix up, and you only pay the interest on what you've taken out of the HELOC, right? We've given the President of the United States $113 billion HELOC. He's only spent $67 billion of that, which is a lot of money. And now he's coming to us wanting to add another $20.6 billion on top of that. It's not going to happen. We are not voting for that. And here's something else the President wants to do. The President is now tying that request to a request for funding for our wildfire fighters in Hawaii and the devastation that happened in Florida. That is sick, it is sad, it is disgusting, it is not going to happen. We also have Pete, who is our digital person in Washington, D.C. does all of our social media. If you don't follow us, please follow us on social media. We tell a lot of these stories on there, and he's very good. He does all of our logo design, anything you see on social media. We just hired a third person, Lauren, who's helping us with media. She's writing our newsletter. And if you have not subscribed to our newsletter, please do that. My goal is to be the most prolific communicator that this district has ever seen. I want you to get tired of hearing from me, all right? Because it's like I said, this is not my seat. This is your seat. Vinny had it before me. I still had it before her. There's going to be somebody after me. I'm just a caretaker and a steward of this seat. And so I feel like you guys deserve to know what's going on, not just in our district, but in the halls of Congress as well. And last but not least, we have Patrick, who is our legislative correspondent now. He ran our front desk there, but he's writing all of our letters. We do have certain responses to people when they call in or write in, but I try to make them personal. And he tries to put my personal spin on it, and then I read it and make any corrections or edits, and then we sign it, and it gets out the door. I encourage everyone, if and when you do come to Washington, and I hope you do, I know a lot of you have, please come to our office. We would love to set up a tour for you, take you on a personal tour. If I can't do it, one of our staff will. And you'll get to see some great things about Congress that you've never seen before. my portion. As I said, this is not about me. This is about you. I've talked long enough. I want to get into the question and answer session.